the Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva. And I hope you all consider the Web Yeshiva and join us to study some Torah together. Can you move the picture somehow, Ezra? So okay, great. Now I can see it. No, I don't really see it quite. Yeah, oh. Okay. The beginning of the parasha of Tetzaveh. Before we start, I want to mention again, this year is being given to Dr. Chuck Feldman Zal, dedicated by his loving family. And in the past, I've thought about and reminisced about Dr. Feldman, who was an extraordinary doctor and educator and just a wonderful person, beloved in his community and by the people he managed to support and to help. So I'm happy to be able to do this, to give a shiur in his memory. So the pasuk says, the first pasuk in Tetzaveh says this, Vata, I have to move this here. Do you see it? Vata kreve lecha d'aron achicha. Vata kreve lecha, Rashi says, lachar shetigmor melechad abishkan. So we have two parashiyot. The parasha of Truma, which is the parasha of Melechet HaMishkan, the physical place, which we call Mishkan, English tabernacle, right? And after that, after the discussion about the physical Mishkan and the physical vessels that are going to be in that Mishkan, all of that is followed by the parasha of Tetzaveh. And the parasha of Tetzaveh is about Bigdei Kuhuna. And that's somehow the aspect of Purim that we're going to try to think about. The second pasuk says, Vasita Bigdei Kodesh La'aron Achicha L'chavod U'L'Tiferet. Those words, L'chavod U'L'Tiferet, of course, are difficult. L'chavod u'l'tiferet. We know that the word kavod is a synonym for the appearance of God. Tiferet is a more physical kind of word. It has to do with how things look. So the second thing, the first problem that we have is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu HaKrev Eilecha et Aaron Achicha? If Moshe Rabbeinu is going to announce or determine that Aaron is going to become the Kohen, why is it HaKrev Eilecha? What does that have to do with bringing him close to Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol before Aaron's anointment as Kohen Gadol. But why HaKrev Eilecha? Why would God formulate in that way, HaKrev Eilecha? And the second problem is, what possible meaning could there be to L'chavod V'L'Tiferet? Now, we'll come back to this, but if we go to the next page, to page 2, Ezra. Thank you. There's another pasuk that interests us, and that's in the pasuk of Achrei Mot, which says, Bezot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. This is how Aaron will dress when he goes to the Kodesh Kodeshim, when he goes behind the Parochet into the Kodesh Kodeshim, in the Holy of Holies on Yom HaKippurim. He'll take a par ben bakar lechatat, he'll bring two animals, one for a chatat, for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And then the pasuk says, pasuk dalet says, kitonet bat kodesh yilbash, umichlese bat yuel bisaro, ubavdeit bat yachkor. So we'll translate. Kitonet bat, kitonet is some kind of an outer garment made of bad, of linen. He'll wear that. Michlisei bad, he'll have pants also made of linen on his body, and a belt, avneit bad, yachgor, mitznefet. Mitznefet is a hat. All of these things made up of bad. So these are not the begadim that are discussed in the parasha of Tetzaveh. These are different begadim. The garments that are made or discussed in the parasha of Tetzaveh are garments that are very fancy. They're filled with gold and silver and techelet, right? Things that are really very, very dear, very, very rare. No one wears clothes of that kind except the king. The clothes that the Kohen wears on Yom HaKippurim when he went into the Kodesh Kodashim were very simple. They were white. They were very plain kinds So you have an interesting fact that when the Torah says, Hakrev Eilecha to Moshe Rabbeinu, bring him close to you, what kinds of clothes is Moshe Rabbeinu going to give Aaron? Well, very fancy ones. Very, very special and fancy clothing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the Kohen Gadol going into the Ohel Moed, going into the most sacred place within the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, only four begadim, four different articles of clothing, all of them made of bad. Something simple, something obvious, something that anybody could get. Something that anybody could get. So we have another mystery in the story of the big day Kohen, and that is that he had two sets of clothing. One set of clothing that he wore every day, every time he did the avoda, a service in the Beit HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, every time, and whenever he sacrificed himself. He did the sacrifice himself. He had to wear that clothing. And he had another set of clothing for the day that he went into the Holy of Holies, right, the holiest place in the Mishkan. On that day, he just wore simple clothing, right? A shirt, pants, a hat, and a belt. And this is all introduced by the word bizot. You see, pasuk gimel, the word bizot. The word bizot means it's a word of pointing. It points at these are the clothes. These are the clothes that he's going to go into the Kodesh, the Holy of Holies with. Rashi comments, bizot, gematria shelo. Arba Ma'ot Ve'eser, Remez Lebayit Rishon. How would you classify that statement in Rashi? Rashi says, if you take the gematria, Bezot, it's 400, 401, 408, 410. The gematria, the Taf is 400, the Aleph is 1, the Zion is 7, the Bet is 2, that's 410. So what is 410 Remez Lebayit Rishon? The number of years that the first temple was extant until it was destroyed, 410. Rebbe's Lubayit Rishon. So what Rashi is saying is, he doesn't really, he's not really know doesn't know how to fit that word bezot in. We really don't need it. And so Rashi says it comes to give me a hint that we're talking about the, we may be talking about Bayit Rishon. Let's look at the next Rashi. Bezot yavo Aharon, the avzu, lo bekoleit. Right? Even, it doesn't mean that he always can go into the Kodesh Kodosh if he wears these clothing, this clothing. No. He can only go into the Kodesh Kodoshim once a year. Ki im biyom kippurim, that's what it says. Ki im biyom kippurim kimo shemeforash b'sof ha'parasha v'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'asor l'chodesh. Chodesh shvi'i is Tishrei, b'asor l'chodesh is Yom HaKippurim. Then there's the enumeration of the big day, Kodesh, Ktodet Bad v'chulei Magid, Rashi, She'eno mishamesh lifanim b'shmona begadim. When he goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, he doesn't wear the eight articles of clothing that are described in the parasha of Tetzaveh, right? Mishamesh lemachutz sheyesh bahem zahav. After all, those begadim are made with gold. They're made with gold, yes. That after all, you don't expect the prosecutor to become a defense attorney. Who's the prosecutor? The gold that they use to build the Egel HaZahav. So when you see gold, you think of the Egel HaZahav. So how could the Kohen Gadol go into the Kodesh Kodesh to ask for mercy when he brings with him the accuser, the gold, right? Ella ba'arba'ah, kikohen hedyot, that all year long, the Kohen Gadol, eight articles of clothing, the regular Kohanim, all the others who are working in the Beit HaMikdash, four articles of clothing. So he, the Kohen Gadol, is kind of demoted. He's demoted on the spot on Yom HaKippurim, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, "Oh yeah, you can go in, but you're going to look like a regular Kohen. Won't be able to tell the difference." Ela ba'arba'ah Rashi ki Kohen Ediot, like a regular Kohen. V'chulam shel butzim, they're all made of linen. Bigdei Kodesh heim, Kodesh. V'rachatz b'sarah et b'mayim et b'saroh l'beisham. That's the pasuk. Somehow they are big day kodesh. They have a special standing. Sheyiyu mishel ekdesh. So Rashi explains they should belong to the Beit HaMikdash. Then it says b'tznef et bad yitznof. Yitznof ketagumu yichit. He'll put it on his head. Yaniach b'rosho. Rashi translates the Ukulos. Kimo, batanach b'gdo, v'achtate. Right, v'achtate. That's the Ukulos rendition. To put it down, to place it upon. Rachatz b'mayim. It says in the pasuk at b'sarah u'l'veisham. First, he should wash his body. Oto hayom. Rashi says ta'un tvilah. Bikol chalifotav, ta'un tefillah. Bikol chalifotav. Every time he changes his clothing, he has to immerse himself in a mikveh. V'chamesh pa'amim haya machlif. He would change five times. Ma'avodot pnim la'avodot chutz u'michutz le'pnim. And that's why it says rachatz v'mayim et b'saro five times. Mishanem in big day zahav le big day lavan, when he changes from the gold embroidered clothing to the simpler ones, big day lavan, the big day zahav, and when he goes back to do the regular avodah b'kol chalifat ha'un tefillah u'shnei kedoshei yadayim v'raglayim mi'ayi ha'kiyor, and he has to wash his feet and hands twice from the kiyor, from this big in Shlomo's time it's called the yam. So you have this kind of interesting idea that the more significant the avoda, the simpler he looks, the more regular he looks, the less distinguished he looks. I mean, you might say that even though we work, or the Kohen, the Koharim, I mean, we work all the time on humility, we know that humility is a wondrous midah, humility. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Chidmutenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the heavenly hosts, what do you think? Should we make it? And so it's said in the plural in the Pasuk, should we make it? And Rashi tells us, An Vitanato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? God is not humble. God is always perfect. So what's the humility? So it seemed to me always that Rashi meant to say that God created humility for our base. What's humility? Humility is a kind of a choice. It's a way you decide to be. It's a way you could decide not to be. And the greatest of the humble children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest created humility was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah itself says about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was the most humble of all. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu the most humble? Because he had received the greatest honor. He was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, then again for 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, Moshe Rabbeinu learned the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like if you say to Moshe Rabbeinu, do you want to have fancy clothing? You want to look like a king? You want to have the fanciest chair? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, I already had as much honor as you could possibly have. I don't need that. I don't need any, I give it all away. All the possible honor that might accrue to anybody doesn't stay with me. It's not going to be mine. I remember the story that Rabbi Gustman, Zichrono Livracha, told. You know, he was also, some people thought, exaggerated his simplicity. He was a great Torah scholar, but he was not interested in the external trappings of a Rosh Yeshiva. He presented himself very simply, and somebody asked him, he said, Rabbi Gusman, I mean, isn't it the honor of Torah that you should get dressed up in a fancy way and look and sit in a fancy seat? So Gusman said to him, I want you to understand, to that person who asked him, he said, I want you to understand. I was appointed a judge in the court, in the Beit Din in Vilna at a very young age. And when I came into the courtroom to take my seat, all the dayanim, all the judges who were in the room stood up. And so what more honor could I possibly have? What honor could I have that would be worth stretching out for? So that was Rav Gusman. And that's the level of concern he had about humility. And so again, it seems odd that in the parasha of Tetzaveh, in the parasha of Tetzaveh, he's dressed up in what the Ramban calls kingly clothing, the clothing that is known to for a king. And here in the parasha of in Parsha Vayikra, Perek Tet Zion, it says Nova, when he goes in, when he is the best that he could be, when he is the most that he could achieve, where there's nothing that's beyond anything that he has ever done, very simple, regular clothes, the kind of clothes that every Kohen wears when he's out wherever he is. So we have that interesting question. I'd like to digress for a moment and say something that relates more clearly to Purim. You know, when they established the calendar, you have to forgive me for not telling you the dates. Not perfectly clear. It's a question for the experts. But we know that we have a calendar. We all know that we have a calendar. And the calendar that we have, is based, it's like a lunar-based calendar, the moon, and it's intercalated, which means that we try to make the year go more or less with the sun. We sort of say the sun gives me the year, but the moon gives me the month. And so I have to accommodate that somehow. So every couple of years, I add a month to the Hebrew calendar, and that month is called, we call it Adar Asheni or Adar Bet. And in other words, in a regular year, Adar is followed by Nisan. And so we have Purim in Adar, the 15th of Adar, and then 4 weeks later we have Pesach. That's the regular calendar. But what happens when we add a month? What happens when we add a month? So the question the Gemara was, if you add a month, when do you do Purim? In other words, you have Adar Nisan. So on a regular year, we do Purim in Adar and Pesach and Nisan. But what about a leap year, where we have Adar Nisan? So there are various attempts to answer that question. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we'll do Purim in the second Adar. The second Adar. Why? Why do Purim in the second Adar? He said, because we have to connect Nismoch Geula LeGeula Adif. It's better that we should bring the Geula of Purim closer to the Geula of Pesach, that somehow they should go together. They should go together. So listen again. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, "Masmich Geula LeGeula Adif." He said all the other reasons are not as important as this reason. Not so important as this reason. Important to have Geula LeGeula Adif. Rashi says, in the Gemara there, it's a Gemara in Megillah. Rashi says, what's Geula LeGeula? Purim the Pesach. Purim the Pesach. You have to push Purim into Pesach. What does Purim have to do with Pesach? I mean, I know Purim is in Adar and Pesach is in Nisan, but I mean, after all, Pesach, the Geula of Pesach is making Am Yisrael. Before that, they were just a community of slaves. They were unable to kind of function independently as the community of Bnei Yisrael. And Yetziat Mitzrayim did it for them. How did it do it? I don't know. I mean, I can guess, I can think, I can assess, right? We tell the story every year when we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim at the Seder. But Purim is not about remaking Am Yisrael. It's not that kind of geula. It's also true that Purim took place in a specific place in the world, right? And even though we try valiantly to reconnect Purim to Am Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael, right? The Megillah says it itself. Mordechai and Esther wrote to the Jake Knesset HaGdolah, and they said, listen, make us a holiday. We're celebrating our own salvation. We were saved, those of us here in Paras, maybe other nations as well. Maybe Ahasuerus was kind of in charge of many nations, but they were not apparently in danger. The danger came from Haman, Paras, Shushan. That's where it was. And where was it not? It was not in Eretz Yisrael. It was not in Eretz Yisrael, but we have this strange halakha, as you know. Those of you who live in Yerushalayim certainly know that walled cities, it was determined by the Chachamim that if you live in a walled city and that wall was there at the time of Yoshua ben Nun brought the Jews into Eretz Canaan and divided the land up for them. That Yoshua ben Nun is the determining point for adding a day to Purim. And you have this very odd situation where you have a holiday that's celebrated in one place on one day, and the same holiday with the same memory is celebrated in another place on a different day. I mean, how does that fit into anything we've ever thought of or learned? The day also that's chosen, the meter, like how do I know which I am? Am I in a walled city that celebrates the first day of Pesach or the second day of Pesach? So they say, well, you just ask Yoshua ben Nun. Now, what does Yoshua ben Nun have to do with Purim? What do walled cities have to do with Purim? It said that even Shushan HaBirah was not a walled city. Was not a walled city. So you see that there is this attempt to say about Purim that it was a national holiday, all of Am Yisrael, that it produced a great change, right? The Chachamim say they accepted the Torah again. It's like the reality is overturned by the halachic aspect of. So we have these two things to think about. We have the clothing of the Kohen. We have the clothing of the Kohen. And we have the problem of Geula LeGeula. So I'd like want to take a look at something the Sfat Emet wrote. Remember the problem of Bezot. As we get me the last page, thank you. So the Sfat Emet, you know, the Sfat Emet was kind of original in the way he thought about things. And the things he adds to help me think about things, and I hope to help you think about things. Look at what he says, the Midrash. He quotes a Midrash, that's Midrash Rabbah. Kishamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vata HaKrev. Kishamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vata HaKrev, right? That's the pasuk that we learned before. You bring him close, bring Aaron close to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vata Aprei, Hara le Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was distressed. He was unhappy. What was he unstressed? What was he distressed about? What was he distressed about? Vainyan Hu, here's Svatamet talking. Vainyan Hu, ki muchan haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom liyot kohen. He says Moshe Rabbeinu actually would have wanted to be the Kohen. Va'az haya ha'avoda b'ma'ala gavoha b'yoter. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen, then the avoda, the service of God, would have been on a very high level. Kimoshe katuv, ani amarti Elokim atem. That Moshe Rabbeinu had this special status. Shayu b'nei Yisrael muchanim mamash kimalachim, that b'nei Yisrael were ready to have that kind of leadership. V'achar hacheit haya hatikun b'madregan nemucha mizeh. So according to the Sfat Emet, for the Sfat Emet, Moshe Rabbeinu was really slated to be the Kohen Gadol because he did it. He went and that the Ramban says, and the Rabbeinu Bechaya clarifies, that the Mishkan is in many ways on the pattern of Matan Torah. With things that happened when the Jews were standing at the foot of the mountain and saw God, and God spoke to them, say, telling them the Aserta Dibrot. So he says, all of that was in preparation for the Mishkan. The Mishkan is, after all, a kind of copy of reality. And that reality was giving the Torah to B'nai Yisrael. And in that reality, there was one actor. There was Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain talking to God. In other words, if you would carry the kind of this simile further, you'd have to say, well, who's going to be the Kohen Gadol? Who's going to be the one who goes into the Kodesh Kodashim in the Mishkan? Well, obviously, it should be the one who already did that. The one who went into the Kodesh Kodashim. He was on top of the mountain, and he was studying the Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that sounds like the Kodesh Kodashim and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kohen Gadol. But he says, the Sfat Emet says, Shayu b'nei Yisrael muchanim mamash, kimalachim, they were ready, each one of them at the beginning of that story, they were like angels. But after they sinned, the angel Azahav, hayahatikun b'madregan muhamize, the fixing of things could only bring them to a lower level. In other words, there's only a chassid could say this. The Sfat Emet says it, and the Sfat Emet meant it. That if the world had been running the way it should be running, if the Egel HaZahav had never been built, if the sin of B'nai Yisrael had never come forth, we had never saw it, he says, there was no way that part of the Matan Torah could be replaced. There's no way that Moshe Rabbeinu could be the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond the level that B'nai Yisrael could be accepting of. Like, what did the Kohen Gadol do? The Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodeshim and begged forgiveness for B'nai Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu was already beyond them. He was in a different, he was not in the world of the tikkun, as he said, the fixing that took place after the golden calf, after Moshe Rabbeinu fixed it. Like you can fix things, you fix them and you gotta glue it back together again, but it's never the same. After you glue the chair and you set it up and it looks just fine, and you go to sit down, somebody in the house says to you, okay, just be careful that it's gonna come apart. Okay, it's gonna come apart. So that's a tikkun. The tikkun never gets you back to where you were. It just looks good. It creates a possibility. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu standing there and saying, Ribono shel Olam, I want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to be the one that goes to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Kodesh Kodeshim. I'm the one who wants to go. I mean, who else could do it as well as I could do it? Who else could be what I could be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. You're already beyond that. You're beyond that level. And so the pasuk says, "Vata ha-krev." You've got to appoint somebody who's going to realize that he's really not worthy. He's not worthy. After all, Aaron HaKohen, he helped the people make the Egel HaZahava. Okay, maybe he didn't actually do it. Maybe he tried to stop them. Maybe he tried this, but he was somehow involved. And since he was involved, he would like he'll run away. You'll come with Bigdei Kehuna. He won't come near you. The Kol Bigdei, I'm reading on. Kol Bigdei Kehuna Shayu. Liyot Nidmeh HaKohen Kemalach Hashem Kediso Bamidrash. All these Bigadim are to raise the level of the person who goes in the Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol. The gold and the silver, the tchelet, the agaman, all of that raises him up. But that's not Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lachein Moshe Rabbeinu, alav ha-shalom, shimesh b'li bigdei kehuna. And that's an important line in the words of the Sfat Emet. Not only was Moshe Rabbeinu way beyond anybody else in the community, but Moshe Rabbeinu was like, wore regular clothes. He went up to Har Sinai with his regular, everyday clothing. He didn't dress for the part of Kohen Gadol. But you have to tell Aaron HaKohen, you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, but we're going to give you this special clothing. We're going to give you Bigdei Malchut, the clothing worn by kings. And the clothing that's worn by kings is going to be yours. You're the one who's going to wear that. That will make up somehow for the deficiency that you have vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu. Vis-a-vis Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom. It's the sixth line. Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom, shimesh b'li bigdei kehuna. He didn't need that. He didn't need that extra advantage because he was Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he was Moshe Rabbeinu. So ata ha-krev Aharon. Aharon knows that he's not worthy. Aharon knows that he's like the default Kohen Gadol. And that really belongs, the job really belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu who could live without Bigdei Kehuna. Could live without Bigdei Kehuna. And the only time during the year that the Kohen Gadol, the only one time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the Kohen Gadol to imitate Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to go closer and to wear regular clothing, the only time is on Yom HaKippurim. The only time is on Yom HaKippurim. So we have to understand. You have to understand maybe that the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, "Mismach geula legeula." We have to know that geula is a wide-ranging word, redemption, and not every redemption is the same as every other redemption. And I always try to think to myself, Why Chayav Adam LeBesume? Why does the Gemara say in that Shulchan Aruch copy that we should get drunk on Pesach? It's like sort of contrary to everything I've ever thought about.
I'm pouring.
On Purim, I'm sorry that you have to get drunk on Purim. You have to get drunk, your head stops working, and you can't achieve any kind of significant understanding if you're drunk. Drunk and halacha doesn't go together. Drunk and doing mitzvahs does not go together. So what happened? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you have to bring maybe. I mean, I'm just. You have to say. You have to be mesmach geula legeula. You have to show the difference. You have to appreciate things for what they are. Right? There's a difference between Purim and Pesach. It's not the same. And the difference between Purim and Pesach allows you to get drunk on Purim because you can't be expected to spend all of your time on that higher level of geulat Mitzrayim. So you have the geula of Purim to prepare yourself for the geula of Pesach. They're not the same. And it's the difference between them that has to be emphasized and learned. So we understand that on the one day of Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol was allowed to exhibit his own humility, as Moshe Rabbeinu was able to exhibit his humility at Har Sinai. The Kohen Gadol does that by going into the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, but dressed in simple clothing, the simple clothing that the regular Kohanim wore every day of the year. And even though it's important for us to understand that the Kohen Gadol had to wear fancy clothing all year long, it's also important to understand that in order for the Kohen Gadol to be parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, he had to wear simple clothing, the clothing of every Kohen Hedyot, every regular kind of Kohen, and what they did. All the best. I wish you all a Chag Sameach. Take care. Be well.
Chag Sameach,
I'm sorry.
Chag Sameach.